Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava and the Temple of Misunderstanding by Swami Biji Narasingha. The main drift of this article is to recall to memory the establishing of the deities of Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava at Mayapur by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada during his manifest Leela, and to draw attention to how the present institution of ISKCON has unfortunately gone astray from the proper Gaudiya conception. But before addressing that, we would first like to present some of the historical and Shastric evidences concerning Vaishnav deity worship in general, and Gaudiya Sampradaya deity worship specifically. Deity worship has long been a part of Vaishnav and Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition, dating back thousands of years. Possibly the oldest Shastra detailing Archana, or deity worship, in any Vaishnav library is the Pancharatra. Pancharatra contains the instructions of Narayana Rishi to his disciples at Badrinath during Satya Yuga. Pancharatra gives many details on deity worship and for observing Vaishnav festivals. These instructions mainly concern the worship of Vishnu avatars. Other more contemporary writings on deity worship for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are such shastras as Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami, Gaur Govindarchana Padati by Gopal Guru Goswami, Gaur Govindarchana Smarana Padati by Dhyana Chandra Goswami, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's Archana Padati that forms the basis of all contemporary Gaudiya Vaishnav deity worship in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Concerning the deities of the Vishnu avatars, many of which date back 5 millennia, and before, there are many, especially in, but not exclusively, in South India, such as Padmanabha, Adi Keshava, and Janardana in Kerala, Ranganath in Tamil Nadu, Narasimhadev at Narasimhapalli in West Bengal, Udupi Krishna in Karnataka, Balaji in Tirupati, and Narasimha at Simachalam, Mangalagiri and Ahobalam in Andhra Pradesh, to name just a few. The deities of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev in Puri, Dwarkadish in Dwarka, Badri Narayan at Badrinath, and Shaligram in the Gandaki Valley of Upper Nepal are counted amongst the oldest, most original deities of the personality of Godhead on this planet. The ancient deities mentioned above are worshipped by many Vaishnav Sampradayas, and also by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. However, there are deities that are worshipped exclusively by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The deities of Govinda and Gopinath, now in Jaipur, Madan Mohan, now in Karoli, Sakshi Gopal, now in Orissa, and others are also from a period approximately 5,000 years ago, having been established by Vajranabha, the king of Mathura, and Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj. Also, among the ancient deities worshipped in Vraja are Haridev at Govardhan, Keshava at Mathura, Dauji at Baldeo, Vrindadevi at Kamyavan, Yogamaya in Vrindavan, and the 4 Shiva lingams of Vraja, Gopeshwar, Chakleshwar, Bhuteshwar, and Kameshwar. However, it was not until the period of the 6 Goswamis and their successors that the deities of Radharani and Lalita Devi manifest and came to be at the side of many of the original Krishna deities in Vraja. From that time on, it became the standard of Gaudiya Vaishnavas not to worship the deity of Krishna alone, but always accompanied by Sri Radha, his internal pleasure potency, the Ladini Shakti. Even more exclusively worshipped by contemporary Gaudiya Vaishnavas are the deities of Gaur Nitai, first established by Gauridas Pandit at Kalna, Gaur Garadhar, first established by Vaninath Vipra at Champahati, the Panchatattva, first established by Saraswati Thakur at Srivasangam and Yogapit, Dameshwar Mahaprabhu, first established by Vishnupriya at Navadvip, Mahaprabhu, Vishnupriya, and Lakshmipriya, first established by Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda at Yogapit, Adhoksaja Vishnu, found during construction at Yogapit, Krishna Balaram, worshipped in the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata in Mayapur, and Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava, first established by Saraswati Thakur at Yogapit. This then brings us to the main focus of our article, the worship of Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava and their ontological importance. The deities of Gaurada Madhava are the special contribution of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the Gaudiya Sampradaya that represents the highest theological conclusion ever revealed to humanity. A verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Verse 282. Tabe hasi tanre prabhu dekhaila swarup rasaraj mahabhava dui ekarup. Translation. Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of Godhead. These two forms have combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Rai. A verse from Srila Saraswati Thakur's composition, Sri Guru Parampara. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya Rupanuga Janera Jivana. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Sri Sri Radha Krishna and is the very life of those Vaishnavas who follow Sri Rupa Goswami. We include here a statement in this regard by Srila Sridhardev Goswami Maharaj from a transcript from April 23, 1982. Our Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta, installed almost everywhere this Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda, meaning that Mahaprabhu is combined Radha Govinda. Mahaprabhu means Radha Govinda. Swarup Damodar has given us a shloka about the ontological nature of Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladhini Shaktir Asmad Ekatmanavapi Bhuvipura Dehabedam Gatoto Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyamaptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Svarupam. Translation. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I offer my obeisances unto him, who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Sri Radha, although he is Krishna himself. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adhi Lila, Chapter 1, Verse 5. Guru Maharaj wanted to show in this form of installation of the deities that the highest order of worship is here. That Mahaprabhu combined, who is giving the rasa, and the Radha Govinda with their paraphernalia, which they are tasting within their own circle, that highest order of sweetness is being distributed by Mahaprabhu himself in his lila. They are of the same level, layer, and the same dignity, and same highest position. To show, to represent this to the worldly intellect and devotion, Guru Maharaj has taken this method in the worship, in Archana, as favorable for his preaching about Radha Govinda in Vrindavan. End quote. A question arises, how can you overlook the importance and position of the deities of Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava and still be conscious of the highest theological conception ever revealed to humanity? Overlooking this, how can one be considered a Rupanuga, a follower of Srila Rupa Goswami? The answer is, you can't. When establishing his center in Mayapur, the seat of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada was very attentive to this point, and thus he established the deities of Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava, thus demonstrating that he is a follower of Saraswati Thakur in the line of Bhaktivinod and all Rupanugas. But what has happened since the departure of his divine grace is anything but attentive to the Gaudiya conception of divinity. Rather, the most sacred conceptions of divinity at his Mayapur center have been lost. The deities of Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakhis now overshadow Gaurada Madhava, and they are given little to no importance. Even Prabhupada's childhood deities of Radha Govinda have been stolen from the altar, and the original deity of Sri Radha, who was with Madhava, demanifested when dacoits attacked the temple. Such happenings are truly unprecedented in our sampradaya. The infamous Emperor Aurangzeb, with his entire army, could not touch a single deity in Vraja when he attacked Vrindavan. So how is it that a grungy group of Muslim dacoits snatched and mutilated the deity of Radharani from the altar at ISKCON Mayapur? However, it was Maya Sita that they snatched, not Sri Radha, thus indicating that she had withdrawn herself. The question of what caused Srila Prabhupada's Radha Govinda deities to disappear from the altar and Radharani to demanifest has never been addressed by the leaders of ISKCON. Such things can only happen due to offenses, aparadha, that which is displeasing to Sri Radha. In the early years of Prabhupada's preaching and establishing temples in the West, the deity of Subhadra, standing between Lord Jagannath and Baladev in San Diego, California, burned to a pile of ashes. Srila Prabhupada commented at the time that Subhadra had demanifested due to offenses being committed in the temple. The letter he wrote about this sensitive issue has long since disappeared from the archives. That offenses can bring about complete devastation is certainly nothing new in the history of Vaishnavism, and can be the only acceptable answer to what has caused the numerous catastrophic events that have taken place in ISKCON since the departure of His Divine Grace. There is an elephant in the room, but no one cares to mention it. Business as usual. What were the offenses that turned the great ISKCON into the dismal institution it has become? Not just aparadha, but Vaishnav aparad. And to which Vaishnavas were these aparads committed? First, offenses to Srila Prabhupada by neglecting his instructions, and the Magnificent Eleven trying to usurp his legacy. Then, offenses to many disciples and followers of Srila Prabhupada who were abused and ousted from ISKCON. Last but not least, offenses to Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and most shamefully, offenses committed against Srila Prabhupada's dearest friend and godbrother, Srila B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, whom Srila Prabhupada desired to guide Prabhupada's disciples philosophically. These numerous offenses have caused the spiritual decline of ISKCON and the fall down of countless GBCs, gurus, sannyasis, and devotees. Now at Mayapur, ISKCON is spending millions of dollars to build the grandest of temples, which they insist on calling the Adbhut Mandir, as envisioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada did indeed wish to build a grand temple, which he called the Planetarium, not the Adbhut Mandir. The Adbhut Mandir envisioned by Bhaktivinoda was envisioned at Yogapith, and later constructed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in 1933. Furthermore, as concerns the grand temple at Mayapur, it was to be built under the direction of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Excerpt of a 1977 conversation at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat of Srila Prabhupada speaking with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Transcription by Bhakti Charu Swami. That planetarium also will be built under your direction. My idea is to combine the Indian culture and the American money, the lame man and the blind man policy. I tell them also that this will be very beneficial for the world." End quote. Historically speaking, the idea to build such a grand temple at Mayapur came from Sridhar Maharaj and was adopted by Srila Prabhupada. Quote from a taped discourse in 1981, of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. I asked Swami Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to construct a temple where the whole Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy will be demonstrated. I had a mind to construct such a temple here, but that was too ambitious and I could not do it. When I was told that he would build a temple there in Mayapur, I humbly put forward my desire. I wanted a temple to be built according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Srila Sanatan Goswami. The whole structure of Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy will be represented there in that temple." End quote. Again, Srila Prabhupada confirms this while speaking with Sridhar Maharaj. From a conversation in Bengali between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, June 6, 1973. Srila Prabhupada, as you have suggested, we are doing that temple. Golokanamni Nijadamni Thale Chatasya Devi Mahesha Haridama. That way I was explaining to them, my disciples, about our temple contemplation. It will be almost a skyscraper building in temple shape with four divisions. Goloka Namni Nijadamni Thale Chatasya Devi Mahesha. So Mahesh Dham, how it will be depicted? Parvati's Mahesh? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. It has been already described by Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. End quote. However, rather than follow Sridhar Maharaj to show the progression of theology, and the highest conception of Godhead as the combined form of Radha Krishna in Mahaprabhu, ISKCON has chosen, through their temple in Mayapur, to prove to the world that the earth is flat. In doing so, they have completely overlooked the concepts of divinity in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It is debatable that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Radha Madhava with the Ashtasakis at Mayapur, since he supposedly only revealed his desire to one devotee, Bhavananda Das. He only ever mentioned it to Bhavananda Das once. He never mentioned it in any letter, conversation, or instruction of any kind to anyone else. But for the sake of argument, let's assume that it was indeed the desire and instruction of His Divine Grace. That still gives no cause to overshadow and neglect the conception of the original deities of Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava. In the Grand Temple at Mayapur, the central deities should be Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava, and since ISKCON is making all their deities very large, then Gaurada Madhava should also be increased to the appropriate size. Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Panchatattva should be on the first altar, Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava on the central altar, and Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakis on the third altar. This would be, for the most part, in keeping with Gaudiya theology. Panchatattva manifests the Sankirtan movement to uplift and save the fallen conditioned souls of this world. That is the secondary purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent. Verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, Verse 6. Satya ehetu, kintu eho bahiranga, ara ekehetu, suna ache antaranga. Translation. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. Purport. In the third chapter, fourth verse, it has been clearly said that Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to distribute love of Krishna and the chanting of his transcendental holy name, Hare Krishna. That was the secondary purpose of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The real reason is different, as we shall see in this chapter. Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava represents the highest conception of divinity within Gaudiya Vaishnavism and the real reason for Mahaprabhu's appearance. Verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adhi Lila, Chapter 1, Verse 6. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Va Anayaiva Svadyo Yenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Va Madhiya Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Dobat Tad Bhava Dya Samajani Shachi Garba Sindo Harindu. Translation. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Shachidevi, as the moon appeared from the ocean. Verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adhi Lila, Chapter 4, Verses 267 and 268. Radhikara bhavakanti angi karavine setina sukha kabhu nahi asvadane radha bhava angikari dari taravarna tina sukha asvadite habe avatirna. Translation. Therefore, assuming Radharani's sentiments and bodily complexion, I shall descend to fulfill these three desires. Unless I accept the luster of the ecstatic love of Sri Radhika, these three desires cannot be fulfilled. This conception and identity of Mahaprabhu should be shown on the center altar at the Grand Temple at Mayapur with Sri Sri Gaurada Madhava, and the same should be preached from the pulpit. Not preaching that the earth is flat. Brihad Bhagavatamrita does not concern itself with the dimensions and shape of planet Earth. This book is exclusively concerned with progressive theological conceptions, not flat earth, hollow earth, or any other relative nonsense that seems to have preoccupied the minds of ISKCON's leading thinkers. Rather than preaching real Gaudiya conceptions according to Shastra and the previous Acharyas from the Vyasasan, ISKCON's main concerns are preaching how ISKCON is exclusively the bedrock of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, So much so that some leaders state that those Vaishnavas outside ISKCON will have to be born again within their institution in order to go back to Godhead. This is simply caste consciousness in another form. However, it is a fact that in every case of Gaudiya Siddhanta, from Jiva Tattva to Nam Tattva to Guru Tattva and more, ISKCON either has an incomplete understanding or a total misunderstanding. Yet there is little concern about this. Their main focus is proving the flat earth theory, promoting Krishna rock bands, pizzerias in the Dham, markets at Mayapur, selling Nike shoes, and novelties like Krishna West. In other words, deviation after deviation, but who's counting? Again, assuming that Srila Prabhupada did desire to manifest the deities of Radha Madhava with the Astasakis, that deity arrangement should be placed on the third altar. This is not a step towards the highest theological conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but rather a grand display of Krishna's opulence to attract the general public, as was the case in Mumbai, where Srila Prabhupada established Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman on the third altar. One has to remember, people in India really, really like their eye candy. In the arena of Rasa Leela, Krishna was there with Sri Radha, the Astasakis, and millions of other gopis. However, when Radharani left the Rasa dance, Krishna could no longer feel pleasure. Even when dancing with the Astasakis and a multitude of gopis, Krishna then left the Rasa Leela in search of Sri Radha. After being reunited, the divine couple sat together under a tree on the banks of the Yamuna, and there, during their loving embrace, Rasaraj Krishna and Mahabhav Radharani became one. This place is known as Imlital and is described by Srila Sridhar Maharaj as the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. Verse 42 from Premadama Devastotram by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Tintidi talasta yamu normi bhavana plutam nirjanaikaradikatma bhava vaibhavavritam Shamaradhikapta Gaura Tattva Bhiti Kakaram Premadama Devame Vanomi Gaura Sundaram. Translation. As the Lord was visiting various places in Vrindavan where Lord Krishna performed his pastimes, he visited that famous tamarind tree that existed during Dwapar Yuga. Sitting beneath the tamarind tree, the Lord's memory of his confidential water sporting pastimes with the cowherd maidens was aroused when he saw the dancing gestures of the Yamuna's waves. The Lord's entire being was captured by tasting the sweetness of Sri Radha within the depths of his heart, identifying with that self-same sweetness and emotion that possessed his entire self. The Lord's entire existence was stolen away. This place is indicated to be the place of origin of Gaura Tattva, for it was here that Shyamasundar became greatly absorbed in the divine mood of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is himself the origin of all, eternally resides in this place. I offer my obeisances to that beautiful golden lord, Gauranga Sundar, the divine form of Krishna Prema. In the present arrangement, when the grand temple is completed, pilgrims will go in and out of the temple by the millions, and few, if any, will even notice the Gaurada Madhava deities standing at the feet and just to the side of Radha Madhava and the Astasakis. And if they are noticed, most will consider them simply as Utsav Murtis, to be bathed and occasionally taken out on procession. They will not be recognized as the representation of the highest form of divinity to have ever manifested to human society. Pilgrims will leave the temple having missed the greatest boon ever offered to humanity, but they will walk with steadiness, having been assured that the earth is flat and they need not worry about falling off. If ISKCON continues at this point with their current plans for the planetarium, then they will inadvertently be giving prominence to the wrong deity arrangement, failing to establish the correct Gaudiya Siddhanta, misleading the public with their flat earth theory, and in summary, be building the temple of misunderstanding, not the planetarium that Srila Prabhupada desired, nor the Adbhut Mandir envisioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Epilogue. Can ISKCON improve? Yes, if they know what they have to improve, but it doesn't seem to be possible at the moment, especially with the present leadership. For change and improvement to take place, a full renaissance is required. Why bring all this up? Is it simply out of hatred and envy? We think not. The reason is twofold. Firstly, if you don't know the truth of the past, then your present reality is simply a deception. Secondly, you can't find what you don't know you've lost. Living in the deception that everything is good, and being unaware of what has been lost, the devotees will lack the incentive to search for the ultimate goal of life. This article has been written in the mood of sugar and spice, with the hope that somehow they will correct themselves. Premonitus, premonitus. Foretold is forewarned. Note from Swami Narasingha. The last time I visited ISKCON Mayapur was the day before Gaur Purnima in 1996. I entered the temple room at the commencement of Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. Midway through the Artik and Kirtan, I was astonished to see what I consider to be the most bizarre display of foolishness ever. Suddenly, Vipramukya Swami, holding his hands to his head like horns, began to charge around the Kirtan like a bull. Then Trivikram Swami began to play the part of a matador, using his Uttariya as a matador's cape. The matador and the charging bull played this ridiculous game for several minutes amidst the raging Kirtan. Their antics seemed to stimulate the assembled devotees. Then, Prithu Das brought an end to this foolishness by grabbing Trivikram's danda like a matador's sword and stabbing the bull in the back. Vipramukya then fell to the floor as dead, and the crowd roared with approval. Had I just witnessed the bull of religiosity slain right in front of Srila Prabhupada's Murti during Guru Puja? I had seen a lot of bizarre things in ISKCON since the disappearance of His Divine Grace. Papal foppery, drug dealing, money laundering, murder, illicit sex, child abuse, endless court cases, the selling of the Manhattan Temple, the splitting of the BBT, changing Prabhupada's original books, offenses to numerous Vaishnavas, etc., etc. But this was off the charts. I left, never to return. Sometimes devotees fault me for having left ISKCON, but my reply is, knowing what I know and having seen what I have seen, I wonder how any sane person with even a little self-respect would ever agree to stay.